Matthew chapter 11, we left off in verse 16, Jesus talking to us about John the Baptist and the fact that he had come and people weren't certain what to do with him. He ended by saying, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 16, he says, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, calling unto their fellows and saying, 'We have piped and you have not danced. We have mourned and you have not lamented.' For John," the reason I'm saying this, Jesus says, "for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a devil, he's demon-possessed.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'A winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Behold, a gluttonous man.' But wisdom," I love this, "is justified of her children." Let's see the fruit. Let's see what's produced, because you can't argue with that. "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." Verse 21, he says, "Woe." And when Jesus says, "Woe," you want to take note of that. He doesn't do it that often. Certainly in chapter 23, we have a concentration of it. But when he's being this serious, we take note. "Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. And if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." And at that time Jesus answered and said, he responds to heaven, looks up, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and thou hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." The context is Jesus being rejected, John the Baptist being rejected, the message of the kingdom coming to the nation of Israel, people not wanting to hear. Jesus says, "You're like children. You're never satisfied. You're like, some of you are playing wedding. Some of you are playing funeral. Some of you are, you know, playing, you know, you're mourning. Some of you are rejoicing, but you're never happy. There's never a middle ground." He said, because John the Baptist, he's come. Now try to imagine this. John the Baptist come, he's sold out. No compromise. On fire for the Lord. He's not afraid to call sin, sin. He says, "Herod, you're in adultery." Not afraid to say that. He's not politically correct, not inclusive, not, you know, sinner friendly, whatever. You know, John the Baptist, he's a shining and a burning lamp, Jesus said. This guy's come, you know, and imagine this. Jesus says, the culture doesn't like this guy. This guy's too fanatical. He's too sold out. You know, he's fundamental. Isn't it interesting? They're making that a dirty word these days. He's sold out. He's no compromise. He's fanatical. You know, we can't live like that. This guy's, you know, he's demon possessed. He's out of his mind. You know, yeah, God's in heaven, but you know, hey, God's not in a rush. Take it easy. Relax a little bit. You got to fit in with the people you live with. You know, this guy's down on sex. He's down on drinking. He's down on this. He's down on the culture. He's down. You know, this guy's, he's nuts. He's out there. Right? We can't handle people like that. That's not the way to get the job done. This guy's crazy. Imagine that. Imagine a culture feeling that way about someone. And Jesus said, on the other side, I came eating and drinking. I came sitting with sinners and publicans, tax gatherers, looking right into their eyes and telling them about the kingdom. And then the same people point at me and say, hey, this guy's a friend of sinners. He's a compromiser. He's a glutton and a drunkard. He said, you can't please them. He said, people who don't want to repent, people who don't want to turn from their way to my way are impossible to please. They look at John the Baptist and they say, we don't want to deal with this. It means being sold out. This guy's crazy. He's fanatical. They look at me and they say, no, we don't want to deal with that. Hey, you know, this guy's got no standards at all. He hangs out. You know the kind of people he hangs out with. And talks to them about God's love. There's no, you know. And he says, that's what I'm running into. But wisdom is justified of our children. There were those who heard his word. The common people heard him gladly. They said, we never heard anybody speak such gracious words. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. If the mighty works that were done in thee had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. You know, we don't know a lot about Chorazin and Bethsaida. They're on the northern end of the Sea of Galilee around Capernaum, and evidently he spent a lot of time there. We're not given those records. John said if everything that Jesus did had been written, not even the world itself could contain the books that would be written. But evidently he had done a lot of miracles there. They had listened to his words. They had looked into his face. They had watched his miracles. They had heard the message. And didn't make any impression on him. But people today say, hey, if I could see a miracle, if I could see this, if I could see that, no, it wouldn't. Wouldn't change them. He says, woe unto thee, Capernaum. Now, Capernaum was his headquarters in Galilee. Woe unto you, Capernaum, thou Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, you shall be brought down to hell. The mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Sodom, with its sin, sinned against conscience. There's something in man, there's a compass, whether he likes to admit it or not, that knows wrong from right. Tyre and Sidon, which were pagan cities and pagan practices and idolaters, had sinned against conscience. But Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum had sinned against light. Jesus stood in their midst. They heard the word of the Lord from the mouth of the Lord. They watched the work of the Lord, mending broken bodies and broken lives. They were eyewitness and ear witness to more light than anybody can imagine. You know, I look at our nation today and I think of those who don't want to hear. They do not want to hear. And yet I think the amount of light we have. We have Christian TV. Somewhere mingled in Christian TV is Christian TV. You have to discern that. Like Christian radio, Christian publications, Christian magazines, Christian music, Christian movies, Christian calendars, and, you know, Christian bookstores and Christian, you know, the amount of light, the amount of freedom we have in this country to share Christ. When I was in England, it's interesting, on public radio there, it's against the law to say Jesus is the only way to be saved. You can talk about Jesus, but you can't be offensive to other religious systems that are on the island, so you can't talk about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. We have just tremendous freedom. And I think, what will God hold this nation accountable for? If he said, woe unto these cities, think of the amount of light that is this nation is exposed to continually. And Jesus is saying, well, you know, the question for you and I is not what's going to happen to Capernaum. What about our culture? What about our nation, our friends? What about where we live? And ultimately, what about us? Jesus pronounces a judgment. They're turning away. And then he answers, he's responding, verse 25, to something the Father is speaking to him. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. You've revealed them on the babes. Even so, it seemed good in thy sight. Father, you know, those who consider themselves wise and prudent, they're filled with their own knowledge, filled with their own education, filled with their own wisdom. And again, they look at you and I as fundamental. We actually believe the book. Poor, naive, duped, stupid sheep being led to the slaughter. No sense, no IQ, no mental processes. You actually just, in blind faith, naively believe all that stuff. That's us, the babes. Father, you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and you've revealed them on the babes. Who are the babes? The babes are the ones who have truth revealed to them, willing to accept it. It's revealed. It isn't dug up by their energy, by their education, by any resources they have. It's something the Father in heaven makes accessible, and they're willing to receive it by faith. It's light. And yet there are so many that are so filled with themselves, there's no room for anything else. And Jesus said, Father, you've done it that way. It seemed good in your sight. All things, he says, are delivered unto me of my Father. Take note of that. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. In completeness, that's true. We know Christ, but not as the Father. In the ages to come, we'll still be learning of his mercy and his grace. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. It's a matter of revelation, hidden from the wise and prudent, revealed unto babes. He says, Father, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. All things are delivered. All authority, all power. He's the Lord of lords, the King of kings. He is filled with majesty. He's all-knowing, omnipotent, omniscient, never changing, all things. And then he makes this challenge. Come unto me. If you get the first three words, you're on your way. Come unto me. Christianity, that's what it is. Come unto me. Someone had asked Mahatma Gandhi in India, what is the greatest enemy of Christ in India? And in no time, he said, Christianity. And you might say, wait a minute, but you know, what he's saying is anything that claims to represent Christ that really has nothing to do with Christ is the greatest enemy of Christ. Anything that claims to represent Christ that really has nothing to do of Christ is an enemy. The greatest enemy of Christ in India, Christianity. In the sense of rules and regulation and tradition and things that Jesus, Christianity is this. Come unto me. That's all. Not come unto Calvary Chapel. Not come unto a denomination or a person or a religious system or a set of works or rules and regulations. Come unto me. I dare you. Just go to him. All your excuses are gone. A child can do that. And it's revealed, the simplicity of it. Come unto me. All you that are tall, dark, and handsome. Come unto me, all ye that are members of the Fortune 500. Come unto me, all ye PhDs. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. All of you that labor to the point of exhaustion and are heavy laden, you are buckling under the weight of pressure. Who? All of ye. Come unto me, all of you who are exhausted. And there are those here this morning that are exhausted. You know, this come unto me is the first thing that happened to me when I get saved, and it's something he has to remind me of every day. After all these years, I still need to be reminded to just come into his presence. Come unto me, all. No one's excluded. All ye that are exhausted, worn out, buckling under the pressure. And then he says something that's very exclusive, and I will give you rest. It's I alone. It's emphatic in the language. No one else. Not church, not a religious system, not religion. I alone. That is exclusive. I alone will give you rest. You're buckling under the pressure today. You came here completely exhausted. You're worn out. You're carrying things, I'm going to tell you this today, that he never intended you to carry. Some of you are carrying things from your past You believe in Christ, you've been coming to church, but you are still guilty about things that you did, some of you before you were saved, some of you in regards to failings since you have been a Christian, and you're heavy laden. Some of you are bearing the burden of what somebody else did to you, and you're mad that they're forgiven, because you won't. You can't believe that Jesus would forgive them after what they did to you. When I get to heaven, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. That's the last thing we want in heaven, no offense. Come unto me, all of you that have labored to the point of exhaustion, those of you who are buckling under the pressure. You're bending and bowing under the weight of the things that you carry. I alone will give you rest. I'll give you a ticket to Club Med. We're going to Jamaica. Disney World. Because you're saying, if I could just get 8 hours sleep, if I could just get a breather, if they would just leave me alone for one day, if I could send my kids into space for a week. No, this is something different. Look, in the end of verse 29, he says, I will give you rest unto your souls. Rest unto your souls. You see, what he says is, our problem is that deep within, where we are everything that God created us to be, he breathed into man's nostril in the book of Genesis, the breath of lives, and man became a living spiritual being. And the highest possibility of what we are, what we were, is walking in the cool of the day with God. Open fellowship with him. I will give you rest unto your souls. Because what happens, and it happens to me, you're busy, you got all kinds of things going on, you start to get physically exhausted. You start to think, if I could only get a break, why don't they leave me alone? I can't believe they're calling. And then you start blaming everybody around you. You start looking on the horizontal. It's everybody's fault. They leave me alone. If I could get some rest. If they don't understand. Every time I hear it, yak, 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 yak. And you're blaming everybody else on the horizontal for your vertical problem. Jesus says, it has to do with me. No one else gives it. You can't get it from everybody leaving you alone. Here's someone who labored and labored, always being thronged, the crowds always holding on to. The Pharisees would say, you're not even 50 years old yet. Well, he was only 30. What did he look like? How worn was he physically? But I believe he walked in tremendous peace deep inside. He knew the Father. The Father knew him. He bore the right yoke. Rest unto our souls. That's what I lack. I live a busy life, and I want to live it till Jesus comes. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to work while there's time to work. But in the middle of all of that, he wants me to have rest. You know, it says in the book of Hebrews that we should labor to enter into God's rest. Imagine that. Labor to enter into rest. Not a physical rest. You know, it's interesting. It says in Revelation chapter 4, when you look at the cherubim and those around the throne of God, it says they rest not day and night and cease not to say, holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, who is and was and who is to come. They rest not. That's because they're completely rested in their being. They're in the presence of God. And in their physical activity, they rest not day or night. The rest that we long for is something internal. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you're never going to fill that with what the world offers you with sex or alcohol or drugs or money or vacations or never fills it. Never fills it. Some of the wealthiest people in this world, divorced, suicidal, Betty Ford Clinic, They have everything, they have nothing. And the constant grinding, the constant search on the horizontal. If I only had this, if I only had this, if I only had this. And then getting mad at those people around us, our spouses, our children. Jesus says, I'll give you rest, but it's rest to your soul. And he asks us to do three things. Verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you. Number two, learn of me. I am meek and lowly of heart. And then he says, and you shall find. It's not Marco Polo. It's not a question of you might if you try really hard. That's religion. Religion is if you exert yourself and if you try, maybe you can get God to respond. Christianity, Jesus Christ, is come to me. Don't take anything on you till you get in my presence. Don't take anything that religion hands you. Don't take anything that man hands you. Come unto me, all of you that labor, you're exhausted, you're buckling under the pressure. Come into my presence because I alone can give that rest. We find his presence. It's available to us. A child can enter in. There is where we take. Take my yoke upon you. That culture understood clearly. There was a yoke that an individual laborer might wear. If you were in the middle of the Eagles game and you were thirsty and you wanted some water, you said, honey, can you get me some water, please? And she said, do you want it through the PUR filter? Or do you want it through the refrigerator? Do you want it cold? Do you want it? No, you went down to the well. You either cranked it up or you let the bucket down and pulled it out or you walked down to the well and sometimes you bore the yoke. There was a single laborer yoke where you could carry a bucket on each side in case you got thirsty labor later. Honey, could I have a drink of water? I don't know what you're thirsty from. You never do anything. You sit there with your friends. I'm the one after you. Why don't you go down to go to the well yourself? Then you'll be thirsty for a reason. But, you know, that was a single yoke. And then there was the yoke the oxen wore, and there was a team, and that was made a special way because there was always a lead ox. There was always one that led that was stronger. And it couldn't just be made even. It had to be made so that the lead ox bore the weight and the other ox filled in and came alongside so that it wouldn't chafe, it wouldn't cause bleeding, it wouldn't cause soreness. And that's the way work was accomplished. He's using an illustration. Doesn't say Jesus is an ox, and it doesn't say that Jesus bears most of the weight, but he needs us to come along and bear a little of the weight, or he'll never get the job. That's not the point. It's an illustration. You're shot, you're worn out, you've been yoked in the wrong yoke. The yoke's on you. I don't know why that came into my mind. I had to go there. You're yoked in the wrong yoke. Some man has laid something on you. A religious system has laid something on you. You're trying to please God in a way that you'll never please God. You've worn yourself out with all that this world tells you will satisfy. And you are exhausted and you are tired. Sometimes it's just because of an illness. Sometimes it's because of something you have nothing control over, even as a Christian that comes and you are physically worn and exhausted. But there is still rest for the soul. You come to him first. Just come to Jesus. So simple. Come to his presence. And there, let him put upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly. He was not striving. We strive. He just said, all things the Father hath given unto me. All authority in heaven and earth, all power, all majesty, Lord of lords, King of kings, I am meek and lowly of heart. I'm under a yoke that the Father's given me. Isn't it amazing? Not striving. If I had all... You don't want this to happen. It's just an illustration. If I had all power in heaven and earth, I'd straighten a few things out today, I'll tell you that. That'd be good for some people and bad for others. And there'd be a few whoopses involved by the time a week was over, I guess. But Father has given all things into his hand, and he says, I'm meek and lowly. There's no striving. He's completely at rest. He knows what the Father's called him to do. There's not stepping away from the yoke that the Father has asked him to take. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I'm meek, gentle, lowly of heart. And you shall find rest. Not you might, not there's a good chance. Try it, see if you like it. He's sovereign. You shall find rest unto your souls. There's no question. For my yoke is easy, it's pleasant, it's functional, but more than that, there's a pleasantness. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. That word is specifically in relationship to weight. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you today are worn out, you can't find any rest internally. You're striving, anger, bitterness, condemnation. Satan never leaves you alone, always telling you you don't measure up. God can't love you. You need to get this together. You need to get that together. You need to do this. You need to do that. No, there's a very simple answer to all of this. Come unto me. Come unto me. You can have every excuse in the world, but the words of Jesus Christ that he stoops down to us, he preserves, and he gives to us this morning is come unto me. Do you do it? Do you take time alone with him? And I'm going to tell you this. It can be in traffic. It can be in a waiting room. It can be standing in line. It can be early in the morning before anyone's up, or late at night when you're sitting alone. It can be laying in your bed before you fall asleep. It can be sitting at a lunch table. Do you come to him? Come unto me. If you're exhausted and you're buckling under the pressure, come unto me. And that also is emphatic. And to me alone, to no one else. Come to me. And I alone will give you rest. In my presence, I want you to take what I'm going to give to you. Take my yoke upon you. Be yoked with me. Walk with me. Live with me. Serve with me. Experience life with me. Be yoked in the yoke with me. Learn of me. For I am meek, lowly of heart. Yeah, all authority is mine. The highest place in the universe is mine. I am given the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee in heaven, things on the earth, things on the ocean should bow, every tongue should confess, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. But learn about me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. If you take, it's interesting. It's come, take, learn, find. You can't take until you come. You have to come to the right place where the taking happens. If you come to him, then he asks you to take. You don't find until you're obedient. Come to his presence. Take. That's Jesus calling. And I hope you're all listening. Come. Take. Learn, find. It isn't find. It's out there. Find it. It's clue. Here's your first clue. Am I getting cold? Am I getting hot? If you don't come to Jesus, you're getting hot. Woe unto you, Chorazin, Bethsaida. Finding is last. The first is the coming. Then taking what he prescribes. You take from a doctor what he prescribes for a cold, for the flu. There's authority. The FDA has to approve it. A doctor who's licensed has to write it. A druggist who has been licensed has to. You know, he says, here, all authority is given to me. So come, and I want you to take this. Take my yoke upon you. Be yoked in this with me. Learn how I am. Meek, lowly in heart. And if you do that, you shall find rest unto your souls. What a wonderful thing in a crazy world to have a quiet place within. For my yoke is easy, it's pleasant, my burden is light, doesn't weigh anything. If you are weighed down, broken today, you are in the wrong yoke. Somebody has put something on you besides Jesus Christ. I'm not naive. I'm not saying that in life there aren't difficulties. We have people in our church with cancer that are suffering, and in one sense, they bear that. That's a terrible experience. Some of you have lost your jobs. Some of you are struggling financially. I'm not naive. But Jesus is saying in the middle of that, there is a rest that is available to you that the unbeliever will never know about. And what they will do is they will turn to alcohol, they'll turn to friends, they'll turn to drugs, they'll turn to acupuncture, mood rings, their analysts, they're going to turn to 1,000 other things and never find in the middle of those difficulties the rest within. He says, if you are exhausted and you are buckling under the pressure, to come to him and to no one else, and he alone will give you a rest that is not available by any other means. That happens when we take his yoke. We learn of him. We find rest internally unto our souls. That particular yoke, he says, is pleasant. It's light. It doesn't burden us down. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, look, you can say all things about church. You can say all kinds of things about Christianity. Bottom line, three words, come unto me. You know, for me, that's all I need to remember. Again, I'm 56, I think. Because when you get like above 48, you start forgetting. I actually know more than I've ever known. I just can't remember it. You know, just for you young whippersnappers out there, I'm way smarter. I know more than I've ever known. I just recall's a problem, but it's in there. When I get to heaven, you'll see it's all going to come out. It's there. But I can remember this much. Come unto me. Doesn't get simpler. Doesn't get more available. Do I do it? You know, sometimes I'm driven to him from my own stubbornness and my own weariness. This is an invitation to come. Joe, be yoked with me. Walk with me. Serve with me. Go through life with me. Look at what's going on. But Father, this is not fair. I'm your child. Why is this happening? Oh, I understand. All authority in heaven and earth is mine. And here I am, meek and lowly, stooped under this. I've come to do my Father's will, to complete what he's given me to do. It's temporary. We're passing through. If you're burned out today, you're tired, the world has not given you any answers, I would encourage you at the end of the service, make your way up here. We'd love to pray with you, give you a Bible, some literature to read. We don't want anything from you. We don't want anything from you. We don't want your address and phone number. We're not going to give you a box of offering envelopes or something. We want you to come to him. Those of you who are believers, just maybe timely. Look, timely for me, you know, just maybe timely for us today. Maybe we didn't expect to hear this. Just maybe it needed to wash over our hearts. And we needed to be reminded. You know, Peter says, and I put you in remembrance of these things as long as I'm in this tabernacle. John says, I don't give you a new commandment, but an old commandment. You know, we're of a nature that we need to constantly be reminded. And yeah, this is one of our favorite verses for plaque material. not to practice, just to put on a wall, just a good thing to have up there to remind us that if we're ever going to do something someday, this might be a good thing to do. For me, I need to be reminded regularly to come to him when I'm ready to point the finger at somebody else and blame them because I feel like I don't have any rest. I'm fried. I'm worn out. To remember that my problem is primarily vertical and not horizontal. And I appreciate how patient he is with me because he knows I'm a babe. I'm one of these that needs some revolution going on. And he's faithful to do that. So let's stand. Let's pray together. I'm going to have the musicians come. We'll sing a last song. And I encourage you to pray with me. Let's bow our hearts. And look, this is not time to run out to get to your car first. We're praying. We're lifting our hearts to the Lord. The person on our right, the person on our left may be the most burdened, broken person in this room. Maybe you know that. Maybe you have no idea who they are, but the Lord does. And I have no desire to sermonize. You know, we come here on Sunday. I don't have any desire to preach sermonettes for Christianettes and then send everybody on their way to watch the Eagles game with no change. I really want to find the Lord's heart. I want to find it together. And when we bow our hearts and pray, I want to say, Lord, all of us corporately, here we are, Lord. We want this to be real. I so often try to carry everything on my own. And he lets me go, and it's weighing me down. How you doing, Joe? Okay. Need any help? Nah, I'll let you know. You know, how you doing, Joe? Okay. You know, and then I'm squashed on the floor like a pancake. You know, can I help you with that, my son? You know, you're laughing. We're resonating. That's what's happening. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray for those standing around us, to our right and to our left, the most broken person here. Lord, we all ask your blessing on that one, Lord, that is most broken, because one day it will be us. We know that. And Lord, we are so distracted and so easily turned aside, and you're asking, Lord, the simplest thing of us, to come to you, Lord Jesus, to come to you alone. To no one else, to come to you, Lord, in our brokenness and our weariness, to come to you, and that you alone will give us rest internally, Lord. The churning might stop, the agony, Lord, of what goes on inside of us might stand still in your presence. Lord, we ask that you would do that right in our midst today, Lord. You know those here that came in, Lord. Broken and burdened. Let them come and take, learn and find, Lord. Let them walk through this day and this week with no other burden than the one, Lord, that you call them to, Lord. Let that be true for myself, for all of us. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We lift our voices now in praise. We love you, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.